Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday the 25th of January. I'm Beth.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Margaret.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. Next, we would like to say a big thank you to the listeners who have kindly sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and magazine. They are Olive Baker, Aileen Rees and Anne Holyhead. So once again, thank you for your donations, which really count towards the running of the Talking newspaper and magazine. And can we just remind listeners that now we are transferred to re-recordable CDs, can you please remember to put the CD back in the envelope and send it back to us? And now Ian will start us off with the news.
School crossing patrols in part of the Black Country will continue to be funded by the local council after a major U-turn by the local authority. Funding for the service was under review as part of Dudley Council's budget savings, with a proposal set to save £395,000 a year. But council bosses have now decided to continue funding the service for the next year after strong opposition from schools, parents and borough residents. A consultation with the 60 schools which currently use the crossing patrol service, which the local authority estimates costs about £30 per pupil, was undertaken in October and November. A paper detailing the results of the consultation was set to go to scrutiny committee on Friday, January 30th, but following a strong desire to keep the service, the council has now been forced into looking at alternative ways the service can be provided. Councillor Hilary Bills, Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, said, "The proposal to explore alternative funding with schools for the service was not something we proposed lightly, which is why we undertook the original consultation to see whether this was viable. Some residents have asked us to continue to fund the service, and while both local authorities and schools continue to face challenges as a result of reduced government funding, we have listened to their concerns and have found a way to fund the service for at least a further year as part of a Healthy Schools initiative. Over the coming year, while the funding is in place, the public health team will be working with schools, children and parents to establish how many children currently walk to school, what would encourage more to do so, and the role that school crossing patrols play in enabling children to walk to school."
A mother of two who recorded her rapist partner's victim giving evidence at Wolverhampton Crown Court has been jailed. Patrice Brown was sitting in the public gallery when she made the recording of the vulnerable girl speaking. She was there in support of Dwayne Kesto during his trial, which ended with him being jailed for 16 years for historic rapes of two young girls. Brown is now also behind bars after Judge James Burridge said her actions had threatened to undermine the court system. "At the city's Crown Court," he said, "a message must go out to the public that this cannot happen." The court heard the 28-year-old student had held her iPhone beneath her leg and made the 12-minute recording as the witness was giving evidence in July last year. "While what was said was recorded, the witness was not filmed directly," Judge Burbage said. Mr. Tom Kenning, defending, added there was no evidence that the recording had been passed on to anyone else. So Judge Burbage said her actions were so serious he could only hand down a 3-month custodial sentence. Brown from Birmingham protested as she was given a 3-month sentence and said she harboured no animosity towards the victim. Judge Burbage told her the court's concern must be to protect vulnerable witnesses. Brown was also keeping Kesto's mother informed of proceedings through WhatsApp, the court heard. The 28-year-old Aston University student who told the court she hadn't made any childcare arrangements when learning that she was being jailed had claimed that her device had malfunctioned after she dropped it in a toilet.
Dudley Zoo is gearing up to celebrate a landmark anniversary and visitors from over the years are being asked to share their memories of the attraction. It is home to more than 1,300 animals across 200 species, including some of the rarest creatures on planet Earth. Based on an ancient wooded hillside with a rich geological history, around the ruins of the 11th century Dudley Castle, it shares a site with the world's largest single collection of modernist Tecton structures and the country's only vintage chairlift. The zoo opened in May 1937 and is 80 years old this May. The idea to convert Dudley Castle's grounds into zoological gardens came from its then owner, the 3rd Earl of Dudley, who chose a team of modernist architects to design the zoo. Using reinforced concrete, they created a revolutionary new design of building, Tectons. The structures have stood the test of time, and 79 years on, Dudley Zoo has the world's largest single collection of Tectons, which in 2009 received World Monument status. Ahead of the May milestone, the zoo is appealing for visitors to send in their favourite zoo memories, photos, film footage or memorabilia, which can feature in the anniversary celebrations. Media and Communications Officer Rachel Hickman said, "It is a fantastic opportunity to not only commemorate our continuing success, but also mark the changes over the years. We know there will have been many special moments made on site during the last 8 decades, whether you were here as a visitor or a member of staff." 2017 is set to be an exciting year at the zoo, with a range of celebratory events planned, plus a £345,000 redevelopment programme, which will see work completed on the snow leopard enclosure, farm and aviaries, plus the unveiling of a new £50,000 South American exhibit in the former tropical birdhouse Tecton on our actual anniversary date, Saturday, May the 6th. Anniversary submissions can be emailed to memories@dudleyzoo.org.uk or sent to Dudley Zoological Gardens, Castle Hill, Dudley, West Midlands, DY1 4QF, before the end of February.
The number of children being referred to Wolverhampton Safeguarding Services through their GP is on the increase, according to new figures. In the last 4 years, the number of children that have been referred by their GP to the Council's Safeguarding Department was 203. From April 2015 to April 2016, the number of referrals was 28. Already, there have been 68 referrals made by GPs through the Council's multi-agency safeguarding hub between April 2016 and the end of December last year. A total of 20 of the 68 referrals by doctors became social care referrals, meaning that the number of referrals is on the up from the previous financial year. The figures, which came to light through a Freedom of Information request, follow the recent high-profile deaths of infants in the city. In November last year, father of baby Joshua Millinson was sentenced to a minimum of 15 years behind bars for murdering the infant. The court heard how Daniel Sanzone vigorously shook tiny Joshua, causing him catastrophic brain injuries at his home in Pendeford. Alan Coe, chair of Wolverhampton's Safeguarding Children's Board, said, "The launch of Wolverhampton's multi-agency safeguarding hub a year ago has strengthened the way that agencies in the city, including the council, police, probation, schools, health providers and others, work together to protect vulnerable children and young people. This has contributed to an increase in referrals, which I believe is positive and clearly demonstrates that people working with children and families are better equipped to identify concerns and are confident to report them. I would urge anyone who is concerned that a child or young person is being abused or neglected to call 01902 555 392 or 01902 552 999. If they are at immediate risk of serious harm, then please call 999.
Travellers setting up illegal camps in Sandwell will now face swift action under new tough powers, which can see them moved on within 24 hours. The ruling means camps can now be moved on from council-owned land through appointed bailiffs, without the need of an eviction notice from the courts. Sandwell Council agreed to the new policy with the West Midlands Police. It will also enable officers to ban groups of travellers from returning to land. The move comes after greater powers were also issued to neighbouring Walsall Council, allowing it to remove travellers camped illegally within 24 hours. It also restricted encampments at 12 owned sites. Councillor Paul Moore, Cabinet Member for Regeneration, said it costs the authority £400,000 a year to tackle the illegal camps. The move has been welcomed by West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner David Jameson, who said working together was the only way to come up with practical solutions. The council has described the policy as a joint protocol between the authority and West Midlands Police. The council will have the use of bailiffs, injunctions and powers under Section 77 of the Criminal Justice and Public Order Act 1994. Section 77 is granted to local authorities from central government. Sandwell Council has become the fifth local authority in the country to bring in these powers.
The man known as the King of Rock in the Black Country has died after 6 decades at the helm of a legendary sweet firm. Ted Gray was 81. He ran Edward Gray's of Dudley with his sister Betty, and he had worked at the factory since he was 15 and continued into his mid-70s. The factory was started by his grandfather in 1826. Teddy Gray's Suck are a favourite locally and are sold in shops in the Black Country and around and about. In its heyday, Dudley Zoo hosted kiosks with Teddy Gray's Dudley Rock, together with his other sweets, including the famous Teddy Gray's Herbal Tablets. His daughter, Julie Healy, 53, said he was very proud of the business, especially the herbal tablets. Only certain family members know the recipe, and he mixed the ingredients himself to keep it secret. He was a very generous man who worked hard and loved his job. Mr. Gray started at the factory as a sugar boiler when he left school, returning after 3 years national service in the RAF to become a delivery driver, eventually taking over the reins on the death of their father, also named Ted, in the 1960s, with his sister Betty Guest, who is now 88 and who still works at the firm. The works were easy to find by anyone who wanted to just follow the delicious aroma of the sweet factory wafting across the town. Teddy Gray died in his sleep after suffering for some years from hydrocephalus, a build-up of fluid in the brain.
Work has begun to clear an overgrown derelict railway line, which will become a new route for the Midland Metro tram service. It will be built between Wensbury and Brierley Hill on the former South Staffordshire Railway line, which closed to passengers in the 1960s. Workers subcontracted by Midland Metro Alliance have been clearing the tracks of plants and trees so structural and environmental surveys can be carried out. Community leaders say that the development will create huge opportunities for jobs and tourism in the area. The railway line, which saw trains stop running in the 1980s, will offer new rail services to parts of the Black Country that currently don't have one. The route will be almost 7 miles in length and will run from the waterfront in Brierley Hill, past Dudley Castle and to Wensbury Great Western Street. MMA, which is working on behalf of the West Midlands Combined Authority, expects work on the route to begin in 2019 and to be open for passengers by 2023. The cost of the project is not yet known. MMA will submit a business case to the Department for Communities and Local Government before it can find out. Funding will come from the government. Councillor Khurshid Ahmed, Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Enterprise for Dudley Council, said, "We've been working hard with partners to make this project happen, as we are set to benefit significantly when the metro rolls in. The improved transport links will create huge opportunities for jobs and tourism in the area. Therefore, it's great to see the project moving in the right direction and a commitment from all involved."
Wolverhampton's worst private landlords were forced to cough up more than £60,000 in fines and costs thanks to prosecutions by the City Council in 2 years. Failing to deal with fire hazards, a lack of drainage and not maintaining electricity were among the charges faced by the 9 property owners. Prosecutions also resulted in convictions between January the 1st, 2015 and December the 1st last year, with most cases heard at Wolverhampton Magistrates Court. Johinder and Rashpal Baines pleaded guilty to a string of failures after tenants had to be moved out by social services. The pair, who were ordered to pay £34,000, managed a building where all communal lighting was wired through individual flats. The ceiling was deteriorating and electricity and heating were cut out and there was no emergency lighting. Eventually, all the top floor tenants at the property in Merridale Road, Wolverhampton, were moved out after council officers inspected the properties. Balwant Raj and Raj Kumari, both from Bilston, were also hit with a heavy fine after failing to put health and safety problems at a property in Carter Road. The pair received fines and costs of more than £5,800 each. A hearing heard the property, then occupied by a family of 5, including 3 children, was inspected by council housing officers last February, and an improvement notice was issued. Further inspection revealed the landlords had failed to deal with fire hazards, electrical issues, food safety concerns, a lack of drainage, and the large build-up of waste to the rear of the property. Other offending landlords, including Anita Kumari, who breached an improvement notice in relation to a property in Welling Road. She was ordered to pay £1,006. Jaspal Singh Sahata paid £7,400 for breaching an emergency prohibition order and an improvement notices for properties in Osier Place and Sherwood Street.
A takeaway boss has been fined thousands of pounds after hygiene inspectors found rat droppings in a potato storeroom. Dudley Council's environmental health officers discovered the rodent droppings in the outside potato storage room, on and around pallets in which potatoes were stored, and behind a chest freezer when they carried out an inspection at Sizzler's Takeaway in Hagley Road, Old Swinford, Stourbridge in September 2015 after a complaint by a resident. A potato which had been gnawed by a rat was also found, as well as droppings beside a rat bait box. Inspectors said there was a pest entry point in the ceiling of the room and damaged walls. Anzar Farak, aged 42, of Dorchester Road, Pedmore, the owner of the business at the time of the problem, was found guilty of 4 offences under the Food Safety and Hygiene Regulations at Wolverhampton Magistrates Court on January the 12th. The offences included failing to keep food premises clean and in good condition, failing to protect food from a risk of contamination, and failing to put in place adequate procedures to control pests. Farak was fined £1,250 and ordered to pay Dudley Council costs of £1,500 and a victim surcharge of £120. Councillor Rachel Harris, Dudley's Cabinet Member for Health and Wellbeing, said, "Environmental health officers work very closely with businesses to ensure they know the law and offer help and advice where we can. However, where conditions present a risk to public health, as in this case, immediate action to remove the risk will be taken and owners will be held to account for the unsatisfactory conditions. The main part of the food premises was not affected and the potato storeroom was taken out of use and conditions remedied within a week. Farak has since left the business and the council says the premises are now registered to a new owner."
A lonely senior curator at the Black Country Living Museum, who quit after he was caught with sickening indecent images of youngsters, has been spared time behind bars. These images show real children in real situations, and by looking at them, you create a demand, Judge Simon Ward told Dr. John Beckerson. The 42-year-old, who described himself after his arrest as a classic lonely man, told police officers he had used chat rooms to distribute the disgusting images. Fiona Cortese, prosecuting, told Wolverhampton Crown Court that police officers seized computer equipment and two mobile phones when they raided Beckerson's home, and searches turned up the indecent material. She said Beckerson maintained that he had no sexual interest in children and stressed his job at the Tipton Road Museum did not put him into regular contact with youngsters. Miss Cortese added that Beckerson, who earned around £40,000 a year at the museum, went on to say he looked at the pictures online, but he had never touched anybody. Beckerson of Beachfield Grove, Bilston, admitted three charges of possessing and distributing the images, including a number in Category A, the worst level. He was given a six-month jail term, suspended for 2 years, and ordered to register as a sex offender for the next 7 years. He was also made the subject of a sexual harm prevention order. Robert Cowley, defending, told the court Beckerson was now in a job that paid him between £700 and £900 a month, so he had already been heavily punished for his offending. The financial effect for him has been huge, he said. He said Beckerson had been taking determined steps to put his offending behind him and concluded, he has been frank and honest with police from the outset.
A police dog sniffed out a lead after suspect thieves stole bacon and sausages from a cafe. Suspected thieves who stole bacon and sausages from a Black Country cafe were caught after a police dog picked up their scent and followed it for a mile. Sausages and bacon were the only items taken when Mark Poynton's cafe, Cat's Cabin in Walsall, was broken into. They got in through the front window and escaped with £30 worth of meat from the cafe fridge. But they proved no match for a West Midlands police dog. After police were called at 3 a.m, the dog led officers to a house in Barnes Lane, where three men were found sitting in a dining room, were arrested. Mark Poynton, who owns the cafe, said, I turned up to the cafe and the police officers came in to me and said, the police dog took us to the suspects. He added, I thought it was funny. They probably think they got away with it, but you're not going to outrun a police dog when it's chasing the smell of bacon and sausages. Police received a 999 call to the cafe shortly after the break-in on January the 9th at 3 a.m. They discovered a window had been shattered, with thieves having got in and helped themselves to two bags of sausages and three packs of bacon from the fridge. No money was taken. Mr. Poynton had to spend £175 on replacing the window the next day. He has CCTV footage of the incident, which has been passed on to the police. He said, so often you hear about burglaries and no suspect caught, so it's nice to hear some good news. Three men, two 26-year-olds, one from Rushall and one from Walsall, and a 20-year-old from Rushall, have been arrested on suspicion of burglary, but they have been bailed pending investigation.
A quirky calendar celebrating the best of British car parks has been created, and one at the Merrihill Shopping Centre has made the list. Car Parks of Britain 2017 calendar has been created by Kevin Beresford, following up his previous calendars on postboxes and telephone boxes of Wales and roundabouts of Redditch. Undeterred by lack of sales in previous years, or being described as one of Britain's dullest men following the launch of his previous calendars, Kevin continues to defend the importance of the mundane. He said, many people will say that my calendars are somewhat dull, but artists throughout history have always focused on the mundane. You will recall Tracy Emin's unmade bed, the pile of bricks in the Tate Gallery, Andy Warhol's can of soup, Damien Hirst's cut-up sheep, and even Van Gogh would just paint a pipe perched on a chair. I like to capture slices of British life in calendar form that no one else would even bother with, hence Car Parks of Britain 2017 calendar. After all, I am the president of the Car Park Appreciation Society, although I'm the only member of the society. I chose Maryhill because I like the design. I was drawn to the concrete Venetian blinds that make up the facade. It took an impressive 40 seconds to park and under 2 minutes to walk to the Maryhill Shopping Centre.
Avid film fans and collectors headed to a poster auction in hopes of bringing home a rare gem, including a rare War of the Worlds poster selling for a staggering £18,000, the biggest sale the auction house has seen. Film enthusiasts flocked from across the UK to the auction house in Dudley with hopes of sprucing up their personal collection or landing themselves a bargain. The 1953 War of the Worlds poster was an extremely rare first release Paramount original, the only poster that features the artwork with the flying saucers included. More than 300 people also bid for items online. More than 300 posters were auctioned at Aston Auctioneers, which included an 80-poster collection from a former RAF man. Brian O'Connor used to help out at a Forces cinema in the 1950s and was interested in the film posters and asked to keep them before they were thrown away. His widow, Liz O'Connor, who lives in Folkestone, Kent, hopes that the posters can now be enjoyed by other people after they spent years in the bottom of a drawer. An original James Bond Dr. No poster fetched £5,600. 1956 film Forbidden Planet scooped £7,600. And The Day the Earth Stood Still sold for £4,300. Hundreds of online bidders from across the world tuned in for the auction, with one lucky bidder taking home the golden prize, the rare War of the Worlds poster, which has only been seen once before. Chris Aston, managing director at Aston's Auctioneers, said, "A lot of dealers came forward with cash-in-hand offers, but they wanted to steal them away. One dealer in London offered us £9,500 for a selection of posters, but one of those alone went for £18,000. Putting collections like this to auction is the right thing to do because lots of dealers attend, along with people from all over the world on the internet. I'm really pleased with how well it's all gone, especially the War of the Worlds poster. It's the most expensive thing we've sold, and we've been here for 12 years. Before that, the most expensive thing we'd sold was a £10,000 Rolex watch, which was in a police auction."
A deceiving wedding company owner who left a trail of distraught brides after pocketing £50,000 has been warned she could be jailed. Lisa Holt and her husband Ryan operated Baker Cake Catering, but did not provide cakes, photo booths and a raft of other services, despite taking cash from trusting couples across the country. Dudley Trading Standards received more than 150 complaints about the company, and a victim's Facebook group was set up which laid bare a litany of broken promises. Mark Jackson, prosecuting, told Wolverhampton Crown Court, "Holt, a mother of two, started the business legitimately, but over a period of time, it became fraudulent." He said people got in touch with the company on the internet. They paid money to her. They did not get their services, and she kept the cash. Holt, aged 41, of Albert Road, Halesowen, admitted participating in a fraudulent business and defrauding customers between May 2014 and August 2015. She further admitted fraud by false representation against internet company Woucher by claiming she was the owner of 16 photo booths and that she employed 10 staff in her business. Holt, who walked into the court on sticks, further pleaded guilty to fraud against the AXA Insurance Company relating to a claim for a £6,000 hog roast machine. Ryan Holt, her 41-year-old husband, of the same address, pleaded guilty to one charge of converting criminal property revolving around the transfer of money between bank accounts. The pair were remanded on bail until February the 3rd by Judge Barry Berlin for the preparation of pre-sentence reports, but he warned them both they could be off to prison. The judge said, "I do not want you to go with the feeling that you will avoid a custodial sentence. In my judgment, this is a very serious matter, and an immediate custodial sentence is the likely outcome."
And with that final news item from Margaret, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Beth.
Goodbye from Ian.
And bye-bye from Margaret.